Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
Slightly quavering voices now, get a bit nervous, under 3 hours till kickoff.
Yes.
But we did bring you the show live from the Flatiron Square today in London. All the crowds are about to start piling in soon. It's all ticketed tonight. But we gave you a show, hopefully, that got you in the mood.
That's
and this
right.
was what was in it, Andy?
Well, we had a lot of guests come down. Of course, we set up the whole show. Then Parry and Graham came in. Parry with a revelation about the England song
news
at the moment.
About the England song,
Omid Jalili was on top form, wasn't he? Very, very funny.
His fine work with the Egyptian commentator.
Very, very funny. We had a fascinating psychologist devise a test about whether you'd be good to take a penalty or not.
Yeah.
But honestly, he doesn't sound like a psychologist.
He doesn't, but he is.
He
was brilliant, but he's a doctor.
And it was a first for H&J. Paul had his hair cut live by one of the England hairdressers, live on air.
Yeah, Justin Carr cuts the England boys' hair. He's already been out of Moscow a couple of times, so or to St. Petersburg. Anyway, here it all is. I hope you enjoy it. Good afternoon, this is Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs on TalkSport, coming to you live from Flatiron Square in London for all the pre-match build-up to England's first World Cup semi-final in 28 years.
It's exciting. Joining us over the next 3 hours as we count down to kick-off, former England World Cup veterans Paul Parker and Alvin Martin, comedians Omid Jalili, Kevin Day and Andy Smart, and Atomic Kitten's Natasha Hamilton, for reasons that should be obvious by now.
Barber to the England stars out in Russia, Justin Carr will also be giving me a Raheem-style trim live on air. I'm looking forward to that. A doctor tells us why psychopaths are good at penalties, and Mike Parry explains why he is responsible solely for the success of the song Three Lines. He's a piece of work,
isn't he? There's all this, plus our man in Rio, Tim Vickery, tells us why he's flown home to be here on this historic day. Bet365's TV star in waiting, Steve Freeth, finally joins us in person and eyeing the barbecue nervously. Tinsel the turkey's on hand with his big match predictions.
Yeah, keen not to end up on the menu, so I think he'll be going for an England win.
I know, just keeping him in the back there, keeping him out of the way.
Indeed, it is. 7 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. And I can feel it. It's palpable.
We should explain what's going on. Flatiron Square is kind of in between London Bridge. It's near Borough Market, in between London Bridge and Blackfriars Bridge. And it's at the moment, it's full of people who've come out to have their lunch in the sunshine, haven't they? Got a load of sort of restaurants here, little pop-up places, little stalls. And people are stuffing their faces right now.
And very
some,
nice.
You get the sense, though, you can look at them, you're trying to think, who are the ones who are going to stay? Who are the ones who've said to the boss, I think I've eaten a slightly dodgy prawn. I'm going to have to have the afternoon off.
That's right.
It's a few likely candidates. It's a few jumpers draped over shoulders.
Don't realise is all these tables are going to be taken away. They have to stand.
This has become quite a place to come during the World Cup. But we're going to be up in Newcastle and also down in Brighton on the beach, because we've got reporters there, because from about 3 o'clock a lot of people are going to be turning up ahead of the game. I'm sure wherever you are in the country, you're making plans this afternoon, but we're going to watch the game tonight.
It's very, very exciting. But we should talk about last night as well, because what a game that was.
It's cracker, wasn't it? I could have done with another
purists.
Half an hour.
I wanted Belgium to equalise just for another half an hour.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't one for the sort of neutral, but for the sort of purist, there was a lot of good football.
You had your tactics balled out, did you?
I very much so, yes. And although my wife did say to me, Eden Hazard, does he play for England? I was saying, well, not really.
He's playing for Belgium now.
So I said, no. She said, is he in the England team? I said, no, he's Belgian.
In the Sepp Blatter days, you might have got away with that. Yeah. I think it's become that little bit harder now.
There must be so many of those conversations going on around the country.
Yeah.
And I noticed that thing, you know, the dignitaries, like when they're from each country, the president or the prime minister, and they have to shake hands with the other person when they score. And it looks very forced. I don't think I'd make a great dignitary. I think I'd be quite angry.
Last night we saw that, didn't we? Macron just did this very apologetic handshake. And the King of Belgium, it would have been great if he'd really gripped him and leant in with real menace, because he's a big man. He's tall, like Jack Charlton.
He should have done, really.
But Infantino, the job he has to do, that we've mentioned it before.
Oh, yeah.
It's like when Tommy Cooper used to have, like, he'd be half a man and half a woman.
Yeah.
Because he's right in the middle of, the King of Belgium and the President of France. And so he's having a turn one way. He goes one way and he goes, fantastic, what a goal. And he turns the other way and says, oh, commiseration. So he has to look happy for one man one way and look gutted for the other. It's
and I've never understood that thing with the French fans, where you stand with your back turned to the action. Right. What's the point of that? You've spent all that money to go there.
Just for the Poznan, wasn't it?
I don't know. You might as well stay at home and listen to it on Talk Sport. If you're not actually going to watch the game,
I can't really do it for the whole game. I think you've seized on something that doesn't really matter.
I wouldn't do it for 5 seconds. But it was interesting with Hazard last night, because he had a good game and he's a wonderful player. But that one where he dragged it wide, I've seen him do it a lot for Chelsea, that. And for him to go to that next level, that Ballon d'Or level, although Danny Murphy was doing his best to sell him to Real Madrid, if he goes to that level, he needs to put those away, I think.
Well, I'm hoping tonight that watching was Luka Modric, who's been hitting the ball far too cleanly in recent years. He became well known at Tottenham for what we called the Luka scuff, where he'd get in brilliant positions and do exactly that. Just hit it too hard, just drag it round the post. So let's see the return of the Luka scuff tonight, rather than that one he got against Argentina.
But you wouldn't blame Hazard if he was to go to Real Madrid. You wouldn't,
for
100 million. I wouldn't fancy Chelsea to spend the money. I worked it out what they do. They'd buy 5 20 million players, pound players, and send them all out on loan.
Good idea.
That'd be really helpful.
Like
really,
as a Tottenham fan, I'm delighted with that.
Absolutely.
So anyway,
but France will be, if England do get through tonight, we'll hope they will, they're going to be some opposition.
I mean,
they're the most balanced team in the whole tournament. Right. Balance between attack and defence, left foot, right foot. They've got a little bit of everything, bit of pace.
Watching it last night, though, I thought they looked great all the way to the final. Yeah. And they did have the, in 2016, they had the pressure of being hosts and all that.
Mm.
But they did slightly choke in the final, didn't they?
Yeah.
That must play on their mind
That's
a bit.
That's true. Well, you know.
Whoever they play, hopefully England tonight.
Yeah, anyway. Hopefully.
So, this is going to be a big communal enjoyment of this game. That's not your style, Andy. You'll be sitting there on your own. Will you watch it alone? Or
will you watch
it with the missus?
No, I'll watch
You'll
it alone.
Completely alone.
Completely alone.
In a darkened room.
I just
in your
like
underpants.
It like that. Don't like anybody else permanently.
Well, that,
I just don't
that
like,
does
I just
explain
say,
a lot.
I just
it?
Don't like people, really. I know it's a terrible thing to admit.
Well, it's good you've done it today, though, Andy.
Well,
you enjoy your own company.
I enjoy my own company.
Just you and Wilson, the basketball, isn't it, most of the time? sitting at home. You chat to him and you punch him now
and
again if Chelsea let
He hasn't got terrible opinions on football that really annoy me. That's the thing. Most people don't know what they're watching. Let's be honest about it. They don't.
Right.
You know, like people were calling for Sterling to be taken off after 20 minutes, including Moose on Saturday.
Right.
You know, so when you have to see that, you look at social media, you think that could be in my room sitting here making the same sort of idiotic comments.
Well, I now want to come and watch it with you. Just sit there with the Oracle and have the game explained to me. A game I really cannot fathom.
You're very technical when we watch football.
I do Glenn's fingers, don't
I? You do go very Ian Dowie.
Yeah, I do go a bit Ian Dowie.
You like a bit of technical chat.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've watched a lot of games together. We saw them lose to Belgium, which wasn't great. But,
no.
No, but I did think of coming around to your house and surprising you tonight.
Just walking in. What time? About 3 a.m. That really would be a surprise. Climbing through the window. I think it was Santa had arrived with that beard.
Well, it's not a bad idea, really.
So, listeners, where are you watching it this evening? Tell us now. Interesting.
Yes, very interesting.
Yeah, well, I hope you enjoy it wherever you are. Yeah. You can tell us, if you like, throughout the afternoon.
I might charge him a fiver to come around and watch it with me, like Parry and Graham do.
They get a free drink with that.
Yeah,
talking to Parry and Graham, they're going to be here. Mike Parry, it's true, he claims he is responsible for the success of Three Lions first time around.
Well, so I think he was at the FA,
and
it was an arrangement between David Frank and their management company and the FA, Ian Brodie,
so
obviously.
So he'll claim it was him. He's great ear for music, as he's proved over the
probably,
years.
Probably, yeah.
So here from Mike, we've got Paul Parker joining us, we've got Alvin Martin joining us as well, two men who've played in World Cups. Andy Smart is here. We'll be chatting to him.
Paul Jiggins is here, right next to me.
From the Sun. Tom Bartley from the Sun's popping down
his
to see us.
His daughter's here. It's her birthday.
Happy
birthday, Millie.
That's right. That's right. She's got to stay in and watch football tonight. Right. Well, she actually she wants to stay and watch football tonight. She likes football.
Natasha, I'm not convinced.
Apparently not. Yeah. Natasha Hamilton's going to join us as well from Atomic Kitten. She's loving the fact the England fans are singing one of their old songs. So we'll be chatting to her. We're going to find out for real from Dr. Kevin Dutton why psychopaths make great penalty takers. I'm going to have a haircut. Justin Carr has been looking after the England boys. Raheem Sterling and Dele and Carl Walker and Jordan Henderson and Harry Kane and others. He's here. He's going to give me a trim, yeah, apparently. Drag me into the 19th century. And Tim Vickery's actually come back to England to be part of this.
I can't believe it. It's amazing.
Yeah. So we'll be chatting to Tim a little bit later on. So all the build-up live from Flatiron Square, which is busy at the moment. I'm guessing after about two, as we said, a few people will drift, but the hardcore will stay. And we'll be chatting to them. Our own James Savundra is here. He's going to be out and about with the fans. And as we said, we're in the northeast, we're down on the south coast. Loads and loads to come.
Have you seen this? Never mind the waistcoat. Yeah. Have you seen this bracelet that Gareth's been wearing?
Yeah. £115, isn't it?
Yeah, from British jewellery brand Monica Vinada. Yeah. Vinada. And sales
Vinada, Vinada.
Who knows?
Yeah.
And he won't be buying one. But they've risen by 3. So anything, if you could get Gareth to wear anything, right? If you wear him, get him to wear a Hawksby and Jacobs T-shirt, for example.
Right. Well, do you want? That doesn't exist.
Exactly.
I think they made 10 and then they burnt them because they didn't sell. We have got the waistcoat.
It's still in the warehouse.
Yeah. We've sent out a picture of Andy in the Gareth Southgate. Right. Thanks very much to M&S for sending that in to us today.
It didn't really fit me. I'm going to try and get Paul Jiggins to put it on.
We did send out a picture. Andy put the waistcoat on early. He's wearing a white T-shirt. So blimey, Francis Rossi's let himself go was the immediate reaction of everybody here.
I am here to stay and it will always be that way.
You ready now?
Forever.
There we are, what an evocative tune that
Not
is.
Really.
It takes you right back, doesn't it, to Euro 96. It's the one song you think of when it comes to Euro 96.
It is, yeah.
That's, I think it was Simply Red. It was certainly Mick Hucknall, We're In This Together.
Yes.
And it really got... There was another song called Three Lines, apparently, but it rarely gets a mention these days.
Absolutely.
Now, joining us, we may touch on that now in the company of the two Mikes, Messrs. Graham and Parry. Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Very good afternoon.
Very good afternoon.
Lovely to see you.
Of David Cameron and George Osborne say we're all in it together.
Yeah.
That's awful. Yeah. Now, I believe Porky was partially
Well, Mr. Parry's bottom lip was going then. He brought back so many memories of his time. Because I understand you rubber stamped that. You made that the official FA song.
To be honest, I didn't. I did exactly the opposite. I'll tell you exactly what happened, right? So I was at the FA 95. One of the last jobs I had was to help organise the opening ceremony for 96.
Yeah. And leak all the big stories out to the press.
Well, of course I leaked all the big stories. I leaked the Perestroika. These boys know all about Perestroika. This is where they've come from. But so what happened was we had to have an official song. So the upcoming guys at the time were Gary Barlow and Take That and Oasis.
Oasis. Yeah, yeah.
But David Davis, who's one of the world's great grovellers, you know what I mean? Sir Alex Ferguson, of course, you know, his best mate.
Mick Hucknall,
David supported Manchester United. He said, I think you get that chap from Simply Red, Mick Hucknall. So Mick Hucknall, you know, goes and writes this song. It's one of the worst songs you've ever heard. But I mean, if you look at some of the words, all eyes were closed, how the world wasn't able to see, washed up failures, my eyes are open, somewhere on the train of the universe. He was trying to write this incredible ballad, you know, that people remember for 100 years. In fact, when he stood on this podium and sung it at Wembley in the opening game, we're in it together forever. Nobody realised the song had finished. Nobody cheered.
I was there. We all went and got a pint. But that Switzerland game, we all cleared off.
That's right. So within seconds, the guy who's, you know, in charge of the microphone put another record on through the speakers, and that was Three Lines on My Shirt.
Yeah.
Really? And it was already a very popular record, already in the charts, but I mean, that made it the official anthem, and I don't think the Mick Hucknall record was ever heard of again.
No.
Until now, that's right, yeah, absolutely.
They've just done the 50 worst football songs, and I'm afraid that came quite high.
Well, it would have been,
They have been dragging some of them out. I was hearing the mob that did Sven, Sven, Sven.
Oh, yeah.
And Gareth, Gareth, Gareth.
Oh, yeah.
Which is almost as bad, you know.
Fell Sterling's Burnley. Now, Mike, you are the man to wear this. I've got the official Gareth.
This is the M&S have sent us the Gareth Southgate waistcoat.
What size is that?
Well, yeah, this could be the fun part.
I don't feel it will do up.
Do you think you'd be able to? I mean, you're obviously a bit like Edward the Seventh. You can't leave the bottom button.
No. Here, look. This is perfect.
Look.
Not even close.
Not even about 6 inch gap.
It's like a corset.
He's been eating too much of your food, Mike.
Well, hang
your
on,
delicious.
He has. Exactly right.
Hang on, I'm a big Bonanza fan, okay?
Yeah.
And in those,
you look like Huss.
I wonder why you just set light to my map.
Having it home now.
Don't you remember in Bonanza, all the guys wore these waistcoats?
They did,
but they never came wider than that. They were always like that. They never actually.
A lot of people don't remember Bonanza.
Put them together.
Mike does look like.
Was on about 1960.
He looks like Status Quo's road crew.
The World Cup.
Do you not think, mate, looks like Status Quo's road crew? Yeah, imagine him going up to night game. One.
He looks like that, that Russian doll. Excuse me, he looks like that Russian doll that you posted earlier.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, Andy found that in the shop in Moscow.
Have you seen this, Mike?
Oh, you know, poor
girl. Oh, yeah, I have.
It's a Russian doll that looks exactly like you. It's a lovely thing.
Like me. But, I mean, listen, man of, you know, many girths. Yeah, man of many girths. Why didn't you try the waistcoat?
I can't try it on.
Yeah, I think you should.
Well, I won't be able to wear it.
There you are, Mike. Look at that. That's incredible.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Is that licensed?
I'm surprised you two.
We're not here for very long, right? Yeah. So I'm afraid you have to use the time well.
You two have lived interesting lives.
Yes.
So we've been asking, where were you when England were last in a World Cup semi-final?
July 1990. I was in New York City. Yeah. In fact, and the story I remember about it is that we were watching. There was a Rolling Stones tour going on, and they had to cancel their show because I think the final was clashing with it. In Italy, we were going to be in the final, and they had to cancel the Rolling Stones show on the basis that nobody would go and watch it, which upset Mick Jagger a hell of a lot, because I used to know, we both did, the guy who was the Rolling Stones road manager, who once got hit up by the tax cut people in America for $1 million.
Cool.
And he asked Jagger for the money, and Jagger said, I can't help you, mate. See you later. And so he wasn't able to sign a cheque for $5 without having it co-signed by somebody from the tax company.
Wow,
so I was in New York City. I don't know where this is.
Where were you, Mr. Parry?
Mick Jagger was at St. Petersburg yesterday.
He was,
yeah.
He'd probably be in Moscow tonight.
I'll tell you exactly where I was. I went for the group games. Yeah. I went to Sardinia. Because
you got arrested there, didn't you?
Yeah, I got arrested in Sardinia. Yeah.
What for, Mike?
Because there was a young lady called...
is this the start of a limerick?
Donatella? No, it's not, no. And
it wasn't Donatella Versace.
No, and she'd be consorting with some professional footballers during the tournament.
Oh, right.
And we were all looking for her.
We should point out, by the way, that Porky had taken time off from his real job to go to Sardinia to be a fan.
Yeah,
however,
and
then got himself involved in journalism, supposedly, even though he was on holiday.
No, what happened was, I stayed in this luxurious hotel inland, and I got a call from all my people on the express. There were 8 of them there saying, hello, governor, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Well,
the woman we're chasing, her name was Isabella, I've just remembered Isabella, and she worked for Italia 90. She's actually at the desk in your hotel downstairs.
Wow.
Can you get to her before anybody else does? So in my attempt to do it diplomatically, I got arrested by the Carabinieri, accused of harassing
the syllable. Carabinieri.
Yeah, I don't know who they are.
Accused
police were on hand as well.
Accused of harassing this woman and you know, being told
and
I was...
Have you been drinking before you approached her?
No, it was about 11 o'clock in the morning, so I've been drinking.
So what's that going to do?
So? Yes.
Your point being?
Yeah.
So I got carted off to Nick, and guess who got me out of jail? The British Foreign Secretary.
Wow.
Because Sir Nicholas Lloyd, the editor of the paper I worked for, pulled a few strings and got me out and got me my passport back, but then I was deported.
And who was the Foreign Secretary?
I can't remember who it was. It wasn't Carrington. Lord Carrington died yesterday. He was a famous Foreign
Didn't
Secretary.
This come up yesterday? It came up with Lord Waddington, wasn't it?
Waddington. Could have been
Waddington. Bob Mills had it in a quiz for the guys.
Really? Yeah, could have been.
Jim White.
And anyway, I then got deported. So the answer to your question is, you won't believe it, Mike. But,
no, I won't. No, neither will anybody
Nick
else.
Lloyd then called a think tank at a country hotel in London, in Fleet Street. Think tank, so where
country
you all go
hotel
and get.
I need to get a few of the details mixed up now.
Yeah.
It's very sunny out here.
You get completely bladderated for 3 days at these think tanks.
Just like
lots of deep thinking, you know, and basically drinking yourself into insensibility. And it was during one of those that the famous Gazetteers semi-final was played. And, of course, that was a great excuse to stay up all night and drink lots of champagne. We even had to get the champagne waiter out of bed because he took the key to the champagne cabinet with him to bed in his waistcoat.
Wow,
actually.
He didn't trust you.
So, yeah, he didn't. Yeah,
now, I knew neither of them would say, I watched it on the telly. I knew there'd be good stories around. So, look, before we let you go, what about today? Mr. Graham, what do you think?
Well,
my worry is,
there are two worries. I'd like to read you two tweets. One from last night from Mr. Parry, sent out around about 9 o'clock. Congratulations to France. We, England, look forward to meeting you in the final.
Oh, no.
Okay, I think it will be a very even contest, but my Gallic friends remember Agincourt, right? Yeah. So he's already invoking Agincourt.
We're not even in the final.
Haven't even beaten Croatia yet, right? Yeah. So first of all, I'm worried about the Porky Jinx. I'd also like to read you this one from the 28th of June, which was written just after England lost to Belgium. Bubble has truly burst, says Porky. Reality check, struggled past Tunisia, walloped one of the smallest countries in the world and lost to Belgium's reserves. I hate to be disloyal to an Everton goalkeeper, but a bit of naivety pushing the balls back into play all
that's just a resume.
So, I mean, you know, I have to say, you don't want to listen to him about anything.
He's flip-flop.
It is the perils of in-game tweeting.
It is. Well, in Porky's case, tweeting in general.
Yes.
You know, the perils of that, of course, we caught him out a few times.
Could be.
We're not going to talk about that.
I'm fascinated by your Two Mics TV. I know we've got to move on.
Yeah.
I didn't realise that you were sort of, you're almost like a TV chef.
Well, I've always loved cooking, and people, even Porky was amazed at how good the stuff actually was.
So it's very good.
So it's the new Two Mics thing, it's the cooking show.
Yes,
complete with sweat. Wearing and drinking.
Yes,
what could go wrong?
What else? Yeah.
So, win or lose, your beauty will be on Friday evening, I tell you.
Certainly will be, win or lose on the booze, as Bobby Moore used to say.
And what score are you going for, Mike?
I'm going for 2-1 England tonight.
2-1 England tonight?
Yeah.
I'd go for 2-0.
2-0 England, comfortable.
I mean, I think the key factor, which you don't have to be a genius to work out, is trying to keep Modric out of the game.
Yeah.
Okay? And if we do that, I don't think we've got a problem at all. I think it's the only decent player they've got. Very old
what
team,
about
by the way. Very old team. If they go to extra time, I think we've definitely got the advantage.
And Chorluka having to play centre-half.
Charlie Chorluka,
That's true. About an eight-year gap, isn't there, between them and us. If
you a bit like the gap between you and I.
Like the gap between your ears, actually. There's nothing there.
You see, it doesn't take long.
Omid Jalili has joined us. Omid, good to see you.
Great to be here, boys. So excited. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Looking at Twitter and following on Twitter, you've massively got into this tournament, haven't you? With two teams, we should point out.
Well, two teams. First of all, you have to understand, I'm of the age that I have been following England disappointments all the way back from even like Poland, 1973, when we couldn't score. I felt the pain. I felt what we've gone through. So now, people don't understand this 52 years of hurt. Since I've been born, we haven't won anything.
No.
Second semi-final. And this is an amazing opportunity. I think that I was telling some people the other day, this shows you how you have to control your emotions. I was telling a bunch of people who didn't know much about football. They were saying, goodness me, have you heard? England are in the semi-final. And I said, really? No kidding. And they went,
good recovery.
Good recovery. And they were like saying, I remember. And the thing is, you've got to stay calm because when you're with people who don't know much about football, they said, I remember when England beat Germany in Germany 5-1. I went, you remember that?
Yeah.
He goes, it was when Sven-Göran Eriksson was the manager. And I said, that's right. He goes, I remember Paul Gascoigne had a great game. He goes, Gascoigne never played. He wasn't in that game. What are you talking about? He was on, got cancelled. He goes, are you bitter? Because I'm so bitter. Don't give me this Gascoigne nonsense. So you have to be very, very kind of patient with people who don't understand football.
So, Iran, we should mention. You followed Iran as well. They were basically a decent finish away from
one finish
getting
away.
Through to the next stage.
The whole world notice that?
They
were one kick away from shaking the foundation.
And one VAR away as
one
well.
One VAR away. I mean, that Spain game, I mean, when the goal went in, we went absolutely nuts. And then VAR showed it probably was. But if you look back at Euro 96, when Spain scored a goal against England, and I think if VAR was around, that goal would have been given.
Sure.
So it's a similar. I was watching it in Camden with about 300 Iranians, and you can understand there was a band playing. Everyone was going Iran, Iran, hi, hi, and we were singing. And then there was a wonderful moment where we thought Ronaldo was going to get sent off, and then there was a big VAR.
Oh yeah, waited, of course.
And then he was given a yellow card, and there was people went nuts. A fight broke out. I saw a security guy chucking someone out in Iranian. He goes, what are you talking about? It's either red or nothing. Yellow card means nothing. And they threw him out. There were fights. And also, when we got the penalty, people went nuts. When we scored, we went nuts. And then if you remember, a minute later, we nearly won the game. I was standing on my seat and I got lightheaded because I saw what I thought the ball went in. So I went, And something snapped in my head, and I fell on the ground.
Oh, no.
And I thought we'd won because everyone was cheering.
Mm.
And then he missed it. And I just thought, from thinking that guy was a hero, to what an idiot. You were kidding.
That's a fine line in football, isn't it?
It's a fine
well,
line.
Well, as England may discover tonight,
that's
hopefully
very,
not.
Very true.
Now, you've followed some of England's progress via an Egyptian commentator, you tell us.
Yes, you have to understand, this is a global event. And yeah. The England team is very much supported by everyone. You know, people forget that England-Croatia tonight, most of the world will know the English players. They probably know Modric and Rakitic, but that's about it. And the commentary for the penalties was hilarious, because I've got an interest in Egyptian football commentary, because they're basically like freewheeling comedians. But it's like jazz for them, because they speak exactly what they feel. And it's a stream of consciousness. Yeah. Like they would say, Ya Wallah, Ya Wahdah, Ya Wallah, Za Harry Kane, Wallah, Harry Kane. Oh, Rashford, Wallah. Oh, Zakir and Trippier, Wallah. Yeah, yeah. Jordan Henderson, you couldn't score a penalty if you could to save your mother's life. You are a disgrace. What will you say to your mother? What will you say to your friends and family? What will you say to the other Sunderland Academy rejects whose place you took unashamedly? I'm telling you, I would now like to put a call out to the present Sunderland manager, whoever you are. Who knows? They change their manager every 2 weeks. Please buy him back from Liverpool and put him out on loan immediately to Scunthorpe United. He's a disgrace. It's fantastic. You don't hear that kind of.
No, you
knowledge.
Should. Maybe tonight, Clive may go down that route. He may decide
they
to did, go for
they said, it. Look at the Harry Kane. Harry Kane, when the Colombia scored, you look from the behind the goal, you see Colombians celebrating. And Harry Kane is calming everyone down.
Yeah,
you have
true.
Not seen this kind of calm resignation since Roy Keane grew an Islamic beard with no qualification. This was a disgrace to the Muslims of Cork, the Muslims of Letterkenny. And it went on like that. It was brilliant.
So good. Where will you watch tonight, then, Omid? Are you in a big group again? Or
first of all, can I say, I'm very disappointed. None of you guys. I'm the only one. I feel like such a schmuck. I'm the only one in a waistcoat.
Well, yeah, we've
you
got
are wearing well, a waistcoat.
Yeah,
none of us can
wear
fit
them.
In it. It's like Cinderella's slipper. None of us can fit into it, can we?
Well, that's a Marks and Spencer's one.
This is the official Gareth.
One, yeah.
The Gareth.
I didn't realise it's got a football lining. Look at that.
Yeah, look at that. Alfred, made by the good people at Alfred Brown as well. And yeah, look at that. Fabric woven in England.
Alf Brown, he used to play for England.
Alfie Brown, yeah.
1915.
Now, I'm watching the game in a pub in East Sheen with a which a bunch of guys I play football with. And in fact, we've been hiring this pub out and we feel that we've been giving so much luck to the England team.
Yeah.
That we've been we're gathering together. Our numbers have grown. And now there's another group that have tried to take it. And there's a bit of tension, actually,
oh, wow.
between us about who's going to take it. But I was saying, calm down, lads. We've all had a drink. Let's just sit down and watch. There are two screens.
You're going to do it together, are you?
We're trying to do it
so
together.
Mad, isn't it? There's only 16 people that can actually affect what happens tonight. That's the 14 players, Gareth Southgate and Steve Holland.
Yeah.
That's it.
No, but there's
no one
else as well.
But you can't, Ken. You can't really affect. It doesn't really matter whether you wear a waistcoat, whether you wear green pants, blue pants. But we all
kind
do
of pants
it.
Do you
I disagree.
Wear?
I don't have
your pants. You've got your leather pants on.
Yeah,
you need
mild.
Your leather pants right now.
Yeah.
Do it for England, Andy.
Yeah.
Leather pants with a little tiger on the crotch. But I have to tell you, this is very important. I think that I heard when Fabian Delph came back for the birth of his child, he went back to the England squad and said, guys, you don't know what people are going nuts. They're wearing waistcoats. They're going to go nuts. And I think it does affect the team.
Yeah.
Any tweet, I was tweeting Ruben Loftus-Cheek. I was saying, if I see you do this little short, because we know Loftus-Cheek could be a great player.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We had Ray Lewington on TalkSport saying, this guy could go on and play for Real Madrid. But at Chelsea, you see him doing that little short in nothing pass. And I said to him,
got to believe in himself.
You've got to
Omid,
believe in yourself.
Yeah.
If I see you do one short pass, I'm going to throw my sandals at the television. Because we can affect the players. And we've never seen this. Throwing a shoe at the television.
I know,
right?
I know what that
and
is.
And I think we can affect the players just by our positivity. That's why this hashtag is coming home. Jason Cundy sending me to you because, Omid, it's coming home. I'm always making it's coming home. The players, this is the first time we are in a world where the players are putting out tweets. And England is giving tweets.
And they'll feed off of it.
They will feed off it. Yeah. And also in Croatia, they don't really use Twitter at all. So they are not part of, they don't. Some of those countries, I know that.
What a theory.
I just did a European tour and there are some countries like Bulgaria, Croatia, they've got no Twitter, they've got no clue. We have this as a powerful tool.
Yeah.
And it is actually, the message is getting through to the players.
Now, Andy Smart's had to cancel his Comedy Store players tonight.
Well, he's an idiot for even showing up.
We have our guest joining us now, Dr. Kevin Dutton, who says psychopaths make great penalty takers.
Mm.
Dr. Dutton, good afternoon.
Hello, Paul.
So, how did you come to this theory?
Well, I think it's probably worth explaining what a psychopath actually is. I think where most people hear the word psychopath, they instantly think of people like Hannibal Lecter and all that kind of thing. But actually,
he did take a nice penalty. He used to strike it right in the corner.
He's always tried the Panenka.
I'd have him on my squad. But when psychologists like myself talk about psychopaths, we're actually referring to a distinct subset of individuals with a specific constellation of personality characteristics, such as you've got ruthlessness, you've got fearlessness, you've got mental toughness, you've got coolness under pressure, self-confidence, focus, charisma, and of course those trademark deficits in conscience and empathy that you hear so much about. Yeah. If you think of them qualities I've just outlined as being, say, the dials on a studio mixing desk, which can be twiddled up and down in various combinations, you arrive at two conclusions. The first is that there is no one-size-fits-all objectively correct setting in which them dials can be positioned, but rather it will invariably depend on context. And also that there exist certain jobs or professions which are going to, by their very nature, demand that some of them dials are going to be turned up a bit higher than average. And if you think about the kind of qualities you need to slot a penalty away, you need to be confident, you need to be cool under pressure, you need to be fearless, you need to be decisive, you need to be very focused and mentally tough, especially if it all goes wrong, of course.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you think about, you know, being a psychopath as well is not all or nothing. We're all on the spectrum. So people are going to be higher on that spectrum. We're going to have those dials I was talking to you about dialed up a little bit higher than average.
Yeah.
Are going to be more likely
to... So it's nothing to do with the ability to randomly murder people.
No, it's nothing to do with that. Well, I hope not, anyway. So other professions, then, that you've discovered are turned up to 11 like that?
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, people in the media, actually.
Really?
Might come as a bit of a surprise.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be pretty cool under pressure in the media sometimes, especially if you're reporting from, very distressing circumstances, like, say, a Grenfell or a Manchester bombing.
Yeah, that's
for instance.
True.
You've got to be very dispassionate. You can't let your emotions get too far ahead of you. Also, the usual kinds of professions. You've got business, you've got surgery, you've got law.
Yeah.
Actually, funny enough, I ran an experiment, big survey, Great British Psychopath Survey, a couple of years ago, and actually, funny enough, clergy. The church crept in there at number eight on the list. Yeah, so it was really funny. I met a clergyman, can't obviously mention who it is, rather a well-known person in the church. He turned around to me and he said, "You know what, Kev, I don't believe in God, I'm just good at him."
That's an admission, isn't it?
It sounds like a kiss in the badge. Wow, what about that?
That's incredible.
So you've actually got a test. You've got a test for us, Kevin, haven't you?
I have, Paul, yeah. Yeah, it's called, I've called it the Great English Penalty Shootout Test. Now, you can play along at home if you want, so you're going to need a pen and paper, and you're going to need a...
Great.
Or a mobile phone or something, because you're going to need to jot down your scores.
Okay.
And we'll what I've got ourselves. Is, Andy, I've got 11 statements.
Andy Smart's going to do it.
Yeah, a bit of paper there.
11 statements.
Always thought he was mad.
I'm going to read out.
Yeah, okay.
And what you're going to do, these 11 statements, they all describe you hypothetically, okay?
Yeah, okay.
And you are going to rate how accurately you think each of these statements describes you according to the following scoring key.
Okay.
If you strongly disagree that the statement describes you, give yourself 0 points for that.
Okay.
If you simply disagree, give yourself 1 point.
Yeah.
If you agree, give yourself 2 points. And strongly agree, give yourself 3 points.
Okay.
So it goes from zero to strongly disagree, three to strongly agree.
Okay.
Right, I'm going to read them out.
I'm completely confused.
Right, that's because you're a psychopath.
Yeah.
Right, number one. Pressure brings out the best in me. Bring it on. Pressure brings out the best in me.
So if I think that's true, what do I...
If you strongly agree with that, Andy, give yourself a three.
Okay, yeah.
If you strongly disagree, give yourself a zero. One disagree and two agree. Right?
Okay, yeah.
And what we're going to do at the end of this, by the way, I should have said, at the end of this, you're going to get a total score. You're going to add up your scores. It's going to tell you how likely you would be to slot a crucial penalty away.
Fantastic.
In a shootout.
Well, I hope you're doing this at home, folks. So there we are. You're good under pressure. Here we go. That's
pressure brings
one.
Out the best of me. Bring it on. He's number
I hope
one.
The
number
team
two.
Doing this as well, yeah.
Number two. I can focus on the task at hand and block out everything else.
Ooh, okay. I'm not good at that, am I, really?
Well, don't tell us. Just write it down.
All right.
Number three.
Anyway, yeah, okay.
When I make a decision, that's it. I never backtrack or change my mind.
Andy, I know what he'll put, but Andy's lying. So he never gets people wrong.
Yeah, I can follow instructions easily. That's another one.
Okay, yeah.
I had to change my mind about Gareth Southgate. So
yeah, so you kind of... Okay, then, yeah.
Number four, I'm not easily intimidated.
Oh, yeah.
Number four. Number five, I love being the centre of attention.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep, okay.
Number six.
Mm-hmm.
It don't bother me in the slightest how people see me.
Okay. I've got to be honest. I'm being honest on these.
Yeah. I'm being honest too.
Number seven. Yeah. Always helps. Always helps. Number seven. I'll never fall for a sales pitch, no matter how good.
Okay.
I did buy a carpet for 500 quid.
You only went out to buy £2 worth of nuts, didn't you?
I did. I went out to buy a bag of walnuts.
You certainly didn't buy any razors, did you? Yeah.
Well, that's true. No need for that, mate. Personal.
So, number eight.
Number eight. If someone says something bad about me, I can put it out of my mind very easily.
No, I can't, I'm afraid. There you go. No, definitely not.
Cheer over that one, Andy. Number nine. I am good at breaking big tasks and projects down into smaller ones.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right then.
Number 10.
Yeah.
I am up for taking big risks for big gains.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. You've got to speculate to accumulate.
And number 11, the last one. In 50-50 situations, I always back myself.
Okay.
In 50-50 situations, I always back myself.
All right. Yeah.
Right. Now, what you should have, folks, at home, Andy and Paul there, you should have 11 numbers on a page there. Yep. Tot them up. Yep. Tot them up to come to a grand total.
Right.
And you should have a total there.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to do for the listeners at home, I'm going to read out a little scoring key. And this will tell you how likely you would be to score the crucial penalty.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
So a big reveal. Right, if you scored 0 to 11, 0 to 11, you have got a low chance of scoring.
Okay. Low chance,
0
okay.
to 11. Do either of you two fellas score?
No, I didn't do that.
Right, okay. 12 to 17.
Yeah.
Below average.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm 17.
Below average.
Andy was 17, yeah.
Below average.
Not
in
the first five, then, Andy. But
not the first person to say that about me.
Yeah.
Thank you. Below average, 12 to 17. 18 to 22 average.
That was, I was 18 to 22. I was 20, so 18 to 22.
Bang in the middle of average there, Paul.
Okay.
Bang average.
I'll be bound bang average. You're just average on bang average. Yeah.
I'm below average.
Yeah.
23 to 28, folks, is high. 23 to 28, we got a high.
What were you, Andy?
I knew I was a psychopath.
Yeah, Andy, 25 for
They might call you
Andy.
Out the crowd at Farnborough to take a penalty.
They might
shoot
do, yeah. Couldn't do any worse.
I don't think the present
manager would have anything to do with that. Well, it wasn't to take a penalty,
are you? Yeah.
So, and 29 to 33, one more, Paul. 29 to 33, very high.
Wow.
So, maximum you can score is 33. Obviously, the lowest score you can get is zero.
Yes. So if the higher you are, the better you are at penalties. Basically.
That's right. Yeah, the better chance you've got of scoring.
Have you tried this with footballers? Have you ever tried?
No, just developed it, Andy. So we'll be rolling it out of footballers.
Be interesting,
mate. Obviously, I should say to everybody, you've got to be able to kick a ball. Right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
all
yeah,
right.
Of course.
Goes without
that
saying.
Does have a bit. You've got
to
be
able to kick a ball. This is just about your psychological mindset.
So where can people find out more, Dr. Dutton?
They can find out on my website, www.kevindutton.co.uk, and my Twitter handle, @profkevindutton.
Fantastic. It's been lovely to meet you. Thanks. Yeah, are you going to win tonight?
I reckon our prediction after 90, I reckon it's going to be 1-1. I think we'll do it 2-1 after extra time.
How were you during the Colombian game? Did you know? Can you tell when you were watching it? He's going to score. He isn't going to score.
No, I couldn't. I mean,
unless he asked him those 11 questions as he's walking up.
Yeah. Do you want me to do your lottery as well?
Stay there, Radamel. Number four. Yeah. Are you more? Yes.
I reckon we should give it to Pickford. He should go out and read them out before something.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
That's good. I'll put him off. Well,
fantastic. Right, good to meet you.
All right, lads.
So there we are. Now you know whether you'd be good at pens or not if you can kick a ball, of course.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
It's amazing. Steve, how are you?
I thought I'd make the effort. I thought it was a quiet day. Nothing much happening. Why not come down to London?
Oh, yeah. I said, where are your offices? I thought you were going to say round the corner. You said Stoke.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's very good of you, Steve, to come down on a match day.
Oh, it's a Stoke connection, isn't it, to the company?
Yes, the Coates family. Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Stoke. So I watch a lot of Stoke. I watch a lot of West Brom. In fact, I watch a lot of football. Yeah. Low league mainly as well. Yes, I've been quite fortunate. The fact that the Coates family I've worked for 18 years. I probably only kept my job because I speak to about football every day of the week. And they're absolutely football nuts.
You sound less Midland in the flesh. You sound more sort of baggies, you know, sort of.
Yeah.
You become more black country on the phone. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I'm right there. Yeah, I'm right.
Well, we've very much enjoyed speaking to you during the World Cup. I don't know if you've had a lot of sort of people wanting to approach
you. They've loved it.
With your TV formats. We've been coming up with TV formats. Yeah. The first one was Freeth in the Night. That was the first one we ever did.
Yeah, I've got them all written down at home.
Yeah, we've got them somewhere. That was your kind of like a chat show that started at 1 a.m. and ended at 6.
Even the missus was kind of getting involved. Friends speaking to the missus. I heard your husband on the radio today. He was talking about Freeth Willy or something.
We wonder what Freeth Willy was. Yeah. We didn't know what the format was, did we?
You and Tinsel have become a pair, though.
You could go on tour together.
Yeah, I do feel he could.
Yeah, you could interview him.
That's right.
I quite like the same, yeah.
Yeah, he knows his stuff.
There's definitely something there, isn't there? Yeah. I have got a one show left.
Oh, have you really?
Oh, yeah. Are you interested?
Yeah, of course we are. Yeah. We're not far from ITV. We can be there in 5 minutes.
It's a Friday night prediction show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's when Franz Beckenbauer comes around my house with my family. It's called the Kaiser Freeths.
The Kaiser Freeths. Yeah.
It's a prediction show. The first show will probably predict a riot. But there won't be a great deal going on. And then I suppose after you watch it the first time, you think, oh my God, I can't believe it.
Oh, and look, we're going through the card now. You may run out of their hits very soon.
I think it's got some legs. I don't know what you think about that.
That's not bad. Why don't we go out for a ruby and discuss that?
Very good.
Yeah, I think we'll leave it there. And he's given us both the 1,000 yards. The Kaiser Chiefs back catalogue is not known to you, is it, Andy?
Not really, no. Well, I know I predict a riot.
Oh, that's it. Yeah,
it's Ruby. Is that theirs?
Yeah, that's it. That's
you see, I thought somebody else reported that.
No, no. Well, maybe they have. The London Symphonia have taken it on. Next guest, Justin Carr, been popping over to Russia to look after the lads' barbering needs. Good to see you, Justin.
Yeah, and you as well, man.
Yeah. So, how did this come about? How did you start working with England players?
I met Carl Walker years ago when he was at Tottenham. I started cutting his hair, and he just played for England, so it was crazy that he played for England and he helped me with the other lads, and I met other guys along the way, and I just kept cutting hair, being good at it.
How many times have you been out to Russia?
I've been to quite a few. I went to see the Nigerian guys as well, so I went to see a lot.
Because, I mean, the visas, you only get sort of two entries, so do you have to keep or using your sort of fan identity?
Yeah. So, who have you, on the England side, whose hair do you cut generally?
Normally I'll cut Kyle Walker, Dele Alli, Oxlade Chamberlain, Jordan Henderson, Kieran Trippier and Danny Welbeck.
Wow, that's a pretty decent lineup.
Yeah. What about the other players? They just let it.
Yeah, I work with the other guys as well, but they're normally my main clients.
My wife's a hairdresser, so I recognise those clippers. But yours are very bling. I've never seen that.
Do you like that?
Gold clippers.
The man with the golden clippers.
That's sensational. Brilliant. They're really good.
It must be great. I mean, do you talk football with them a lot?
I do and I don't. Like, we're just like the same sort of age, so we just get along on like mutual grounds, really.
Yeah. And so, do the other boys? Is it the other boys? Sitting there reading magazines in the background, you call them up.
You know, it's a little barber.
A bit of a barber shop thing. They get going. Do they all sort of?
Yeah, it's like whoever's next. Whoever, if they know that I'm there, then they'll jump on and get a trim. So yeah.
Wow, wait.
It's cool, man.
This must be great.
It's an amazing experience. Like, it's even great to be here now with like Head and Shoulders and that. I'm just here today to be able to watch the game and everything. It's just great, man.
So, were you going to Rapino?
Rapino,
That's where they were based.
St. Petersburg, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just near St. Petersburg, about 45 5 minutes.
Did you get to see any games while you were out
I didn't. Unfortunately, I didn't at the stadium, but I did get to go to the Fan Fest, which was just still amazing as well, to see him score like so many goals, like 6 goals or whatever. I was buzzing. I can't lie.
That's good.
So, have you got your own salon still? Do you still sort of work generally away from football?
I'm working a salon at the moment, and I do mobile at the same time. So I try and juggle both, which can be hard, but everything is, you know. So
you may be looked upon as a bit of a good luck charm by the manager. He's seizing on everything, Gareth. The moment, there's like the difference is the marginal gain, so he might be calling you back.
I hope so. They're getting that feeling, you know.
Has Gareth, Steve Holland, any of the boys, any of the coaches asked for a trim or
yeah,
not?
Yeah. A few people have jumped on. There's other barbers that have been out there as well and got trimmed them up, so it's all good. So.
Oh, that's just amazing, that's isn't brilliant. It? So you're going to do a bit of work on Paul.
Yeah, I can. What should we do? What style are we going for?
It's good. To be sort of I think it's going to be a fairly light trim. I was just looking, they go for the fade, but you don't want to see a lot of my skull. It's definitely got to be more in the Gareth Steve Holland envelope than it has the Raheem or the Deli.
That's fine, we're not going to give you the Deli line today.
Okay, fair enough. So, how do we want to do this? Should we do it now? Okay,
yeah, I can do it randomly. You
can ask me if I'm going away this year.
I'll go and sit there. You use my microphone.
You're going to need to be on. I've got a microphone. Okay, we'll go around this way. Okay, I'm having a bit of a swap around. I'm going to take the headphones. I've got the handheld mic. I've never had a haircut live on here, so this is a first for me, really. So I normally have a little bit of a bench and an aeroplane steering wheel when I have a haircut. When I was a kid, so here we go. The headphones are going on. So I've got the Head and Shoulders gown on. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to rock. Yeah. I should have. I don't mind a few stray hairs. So so it's very straight, as you can see. It's a bit of a nightmare, my bonnet.
I can see that.
Yeah, so you know it's.
So we're just gonna getting in the way,
so
we're moving crazy.
Here we go, right? So here we are. So
scissors over
comb. That's quite nice. It's just some nice cuts there.
Just a Boston. I've seen that for years.
Can't do it.
Do
not gonna, you're not going to carve it's coming home into the back of it.
Well, you can if you want. I love Andy Smart comedy. A man whose hair reminds me of Liberace. Quite fantastic.
They've all got the Liberace look these days. We're doing some minor work here. I think, literally,
it's just a light trim all over. I don't want to go too crazy.
No, you don't want to go
too
crazy.
That's like one of those on TV where they just do it
Just pretend I'm cutting.
It's going to cost me a grand. Well, I might go away. We'll see. I've already been away this year.
See, I think that's a very bold move, having your hair cut on the day of the game.
You think it's bad luck?
Well, I hope not, but if we lose tonight, I'm blaming you.
Oh, he's a good luck charm, right?
That's true. You have to keep cutting it every day.
I'll be back on Friday.
Yeah, well, it sounds like we don't live far away, so you can go around Deli's place and you come and do mine afterwards.
That's great.
Because footballers do like their hair cut, I'd say, more often. I mean, most people go every 2.5-3 weeks, don't they? But I think they go...
What's the most frequent cut you do then?
Now, a lot of people get like once a week, I would say.
Some of them like it every day, don't they? Like a haircut every day.
Every day.
That's a bit much, isn't it?
I haven't heard that one yet.
No, that one every
day. Neymar has it every day.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I wonder if he's so rubbish.
That's the contract you want.
Every day
haircut.
I'll be living in his house.
Imagine if you nick his ear, be rolling on the ground.
No, he would be. He would lay it on, wouldn't he? Tinsel the turkey joins us. Hi, Tinsel.
Oh, there he is.
Tinsel's been... get the idea. I know you're very excited. We all are.
He is.
Alvin Martin. See, I know you're a big fan of Alvin's as a player.
He was.
He always.
Have you been down
he
the
cultured centre half?
Ask him if he's been down the comedy store.
Have you been down the comedy store, Tinsel? Supposed to go tonight, but they've cancelled it. Lightweight. Great, isn't it?
We want to talk to
the boys. So let's just get a score. I mean, I know you didn't want to come down here personally today because there's a lot of barbecues basically out and about. They are doing turkey burgers, so I'm sorry, it may have been a relative. But give us a score, Tinsel. Comfortable 3-1 victory. Grease with me.
Very optimistic, I'm
pleased. In normal time. Tinsel, enjoy the game. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tinsel.
Alvin, do you want to go for a score? You don't want to jinx us?
I've got no idea.
Sorry, could you speak in gobble? I don't understand.
So there we are. That was this afternoon. So, Andy... This is it now.
I must say, it's a bit nerve-wracking.
and still very confident. I'm sticking with me 3-1. You're going 2-1.
2-1, I think, yeah.
Rufus, who's our producer, what's the score going to be, Rufus?
3-1 in extra time.
3-1 in extra time.
Oh, okay. 3-1?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll kill him off.
0-0. And then just massive.
0-0
at full time. In the first half.
I'd definitely have a bet on that, if that's a vision. Yeah. We'll catch up with you tomorrow to start looking ahead to England in the final. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.